You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN 91.9 FM. I'm Katie Frankowitz. A surf rescue near the mouth of Siletz Bay in Lincoln County ended with a death Sunday afternoon. Around 3:40 p.m., 911 dispatchers received reports of a person caught in a strong current and being pulled out to sea. North Lincoln Fire and Rescue crews arrived within minutes and launched rescue jet skis. The U.S. Coast Guard responded with two lifeboats and a helicopter, while Lincoln City Police deployed a drone to try to help locate the person. The person was found but declared deceased. Oregon State Police is conducting an investigation. No further information has been released at this time. The death occurred at a time when the National Weather Service had issued warnings about increased risk of sneaker waves on the Oregon coast. Hundreds of people turned out for No Kings protests on Oregon's North Coast on Saturday, joining massive nationwide protests against the Trump administration and its policies. In Astoria, an estimated 1,600 to 1,800 participants lined city blocks from 15th Street to 23rd Street, with clumps of protesters also gathered farther on the eastern side of the city. If you didn't know it was a protest, you might have thought it was a Halloween party, with a number of participants dressed in elaborate costumes. One person in an inflatable raccoon costume helped lead call and response chants during a rally ahead of the protest. Among the participants at the rally was State Representative Cyrus Javidi, a former Republican who recently switched to the Democratic Party. He was a featured speaker at the rally at the Astoria Armory. It was his first major public event since he changed parties. He will run for re-election for the District 32 seat in 2026 and faces at least one Republican challenger so far. In his speech, Javidi did not refer to President Donald Trump by name, but instead referenced America's history. He told an audience of more than 600 that every generation must decide whether they believe that freedom belongs to everyone.
Not just the loudest, the richest, or the most powerful among us. Liberty doesn't collapse all at once. It erodes one excuse at a time, one emergency at a time, one necessary evil at a time. It's not lost in revolution, it's lost in resignation. When people grow tired, when people stop showing up, when they decide it's easier to be ruled than to be responsible.
He condemned Trump's recent efforts to deploy the National Guard to Portland, echoing fellow Democrats in saying troops are not needed in the city. Javidi stopped at No Kings protests in Seaside on his way up to Astoria and said he planned to attend other protests on his way back down the coast. For Astorian Judy Lampe, the rally and protest were in line with the values of her church, including standing up for the LGBTQ+ community and the immigrant community. She attended with a group from Astoria's Peace First Lutheran Church.
Okay, so Peace First Lutheran Church is here today. Number one, to support the community in what's good and right. And there's so much happening in today's world that is unkind and wrong. So we want to be here for what's right.
It was the second time protesting for one young participant named Flint, who had attended the first No Kings rally earlier this year, an event that also drew strong crowds in Astoria, as well as a pocket of counter-protesters. On Saturday, Flint held a handmade sign that read, "Silence does not equal peace."
I think it's important for a protest to happen in any city, whether it's a big or small, because it shows that people from all around, no matter what community they are in, there's something's being said. People want change, no matter how the population of a place. Of course, more cities like San Francisco, Portland, Seattle are going to receive more attention because there's more people. But if, like, a town with 10,000, if, like, 5,000 show up, that is a large percentage of our little population, and that should be still taken into account as much as how many people might show up in a Portland protest.
Indivisible North Coast Oregon, the organizers behind the local No Kings rally and protest, told KMUN that, minus a few comments shouted from the windows of passing cars, they did not encounter any counter-protesters and did not face any threats during the event. In Seaside, a No Kings protest drew more than 600 people. Around 300 people are estimated to have participated in a protest in Cannon Beach. I'm Katie Frankowitz, reporting. New shelter options are now open in the city of Tillamook. Community Action Resource Enterprises, also known as CARE, opened a new congregate shelter and shelter village at their Tillamook headquarters last week. Staff with CARE say they're hearing a lot of excitement from the area's unhoused community. The congregate shelter is able to accommodate up to a dozen people and will be open nightly beginning at 9:15. It's first come, first served, with no barriers to entry, though substance use will be prohibited at the site. The shelter features a dedicated restroom, including showers. Towels and toiletries are provided to guests. The shelter village features 10 shelters able to hold 1 to 3 people. Residents are required to be actively engaged with CARE's services. This includes twice-weekly meetings with a navigation manager. If problems arise, a resident could be asked to leave the village. Otherwise, CARE expects residents to stay at the village for around 6 months as they receive support from staff to find longer-term housing. The new village shelters are only open to adults. Another village shelter cluster located at the nearby Adventist Church accepts families with children. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. You're listening to KMUN. Oregon and Washington joined nearly 24 states suing the Environmental Protection Agency in 2 lawsuits last week. They're challenging the decision to end a $7 billion solar grant. The program was intended to boost solar adoption for low-income households. Last year, Oregon was awarded nearly $87 million through a competitive process. Washington was awarded more than $150 million. The first lawsuit argues it was illegal to end the Solar for All program. The second lawsuit seeks to recover damages from breaching that contract. According to the Oregon Department of Energy, the state had already spent about $500,000 to start the program up. Northwest wheat farmers are dealing with low crop prices and high input costs. As OPB's Alejandro Figueroa reports, some are waiting to hear more about a possible Trump administration bailout. But they're not counting on it.
Right now, the price for a bushel of wheat is standing at a little over $5. For some farmers, that's lower than what it costs to produce it. Driving that low price is a global glut of wheat and ongoing Trump administration trade disputes. Matt Wood is a wheat farmer in Helix, Oregon.
It's a double whammy because right now the tariffs are affecting the products that we grow and making them either less desirable or more expensive or both to foreign countries. And then at the same time, a lot of the fertilizer is imported from foreign countries.
Trump has hinted at a $15 billion aid package to commodity farmers caught in the trade war. But farmers say they want reliable markets, not a check from the government.
For the first time in more than a century, salmon are swimming above Upper Klamath Lake in southern Oregon. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has detected radio-tagged fall Chinook salmon in Upper Klamath Lake and in the Williamson and Sprague Rivers. William Ray Jr. is the chairman of the Klamath Tribes. He says tribal members were hoping to see salmon in their homelands again after 4 dams were removed from the Klamath River last year.
We're praying and praying as loud as we can pray that the spawners will do their natural work and they'll just keep coming back every year so that the population grow into a fishable population for us.
For now, salmon fishing remains closed in the Upper Klamath Basin to allow for fish recovery. People who work with veterans worry that disruption at the federal level could make the already daunting process of accessing health care and benefits more difficult. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White spoke with the family member of a veteran who said their benefits had been impacted.
Just before midnight on a weekend in February, Anne, the widow of a veteran in Lincoln County, received a notification from her bank that more than $50,000 had been withdrawn from her account. Anne isn't her real name. KLCC agreed to use a pseudonym because she fears retaliation for speaking to the media. Anne had lost her husband about 3 months earlier. Now she thought her identity might have been stolen. She said the incident caused her so much stress. She ended up in the emergency room with heart trouble.
I mean, I was so panicked. I was like, you got to shut down all my accounts. You know, I didn't understand.
The bank told her the U.S. Department of Treasury had emptied her account. Anne said she didn't know what to do, so she reached out to Lincoln County Veterans Service Officer Keith Barnes. He had previously helped her husband get stipends and back pay he was entitled to under the PACT Act, a 2022 law that helped millions of veterans exposed to toxic substances access health care. Veteran service officers usually work for a local government or tribe instead of the VA and help veterans apply for benefits or navigate the system if they run into complications. Barnes told KLCC that after Ann told him her benefits had disappeared, he made at least 100 phone calls on her behalf. He also contacted congressional representatives and reached out to the VA National Office staff while at a conference in Washington, D.C.
I had to pull out every business card I had, and sometimes I'd call them and they were no longer working for the VA because they had taken the buyout. And that becomes incredibly difficult as well because these relationships of people that you know that could work with these things, they're just not there anymore.
At around the same time, VA Secretary Doug Collins announced in a video posted on X that the so-called Department of Government Efficiency had found $2 billion in contracts to cut. He also, at that time, planned to cut around 80,000 jobs.
You got to see this. I've been given this report. It says we were taking millions of contracts and dollars in contracts to create things like PowerPoint slide and meeting minutes. Folks, if you don't know how to run PowerPoint slides, learn. It's a tutorial on your computer.
Investigations from multiple news outlets found DOGE's work at the VA was riddled with errors, and many of the purported savings were reversed. Some workers who were fired were rehired. The VA has since scaled down its planned staffing reductions to 30,000 people through attrition instead of firings. Members of Congress have also raised concerns about staffing reductions at the VA, including Oregon U.S. Representative Janelle Bynum, a Democrat from Happy Valley. She and Democratic California Representative Ted Lieu sent a letter to Collins in late September raising concerns about an inspector general report showing staffing shortages and the VA's own self-reported numbers that show thousands of workers have left. In a press conference, Bynum said she feared the exodus of employees could lead to healthcare delays, issues with veteran benefits, and worse mental health outcomes.
We're demanding answers from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Answers to how many positions remain unfilled, what steps the department is taking to ensure the vacancies are filled in a timely manner and with qualified professionals, and how they are making sure our veterans have access to care in the meantime. We can't just wait and see what happens.
KLCC also reached out to the VA directly to ask about staffing levels and benefits processing. In a statement, the VA said their vacancy rates are lower than many non-government healthcare systems and argued the agency is getting better results now than it was during the Biden administration. The agency also said the numbers that Bynum raised concerns about, which the VA is required to produce, are, quote, not an appropriate indicator of staffing shortages and are subjective, not standardized, and unreliable. Back in Lincoln County, Anne says she still hasn't received an explanation about what happened to her. She said about 3 months after her money was taken, it was returned.
I was relieved, but I'm not healed from all this. I worry that somebody could reach in and try to grab it again.
More than 11% of Lincoln County's population are veterans, according to the U.S. Census. Barnes says he has seen more challenging cases recently than he has in past years and worries any disruptions could be hard on the community. He worries big changes at the VA could erode trust, especially for veterans who are hesitant, homeless, or vulnerable in other ways.
Veterans say, well, the VA doesn't care about me. And so then they don't seek out the benefits that they are due to their service.
Lincoln County has a levy on the November ballot that would increase resources for veteran services locally. Barnes says if voters approve the funds, the outreach worker the county plans to hire should help his team be more proactive. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
Influenza A is showing up earlier this year in Spokane, Washington. That's not the only reason family doctors say you should get a flu shot. SBR's Eliza Billingham has more.
Influenza isn't a bad cold or the stomach flu. Dr. Gretchen LaSalle, a family medical doctor in Spokane, says it's a virus with some serious consequences.
One minute you're feeling healthy, and then the next minute it tends to come on pretty sudden. It feels like you've been hit by a truck. Your body hurts, your eyes hurt, your hair hurts, you have high fever, and it lasts for a week to 10 days.
She says influenza can be deadly, which is why there's a vaccine for it.
So we have vaccines for things that are highly damaging, deadly, or highly contagious, or all of the above.
LaSalle says more than 270 children in the U.S. died from influenza last year. That's the most pediatric flu deaths on record the country has ever seen. Half of those children were perfectly healthy before they got influenza. 90% of them were not fully vaccinated. LaSalle says a flu shot doesn't completely prevent you from getting the flu, but it does make the symptoms less severe and the virus itself less threatening. If you don't have a primary care physician, LaSalle recommends going to a local pharmacy to get a flu shot to protect yourself and loved ones. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch with us. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, news intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. We'll see you tomorrow. This is KMUN.